The Selah Jubilee Quartet, The Judgment's Coming. At this time, that group consisted of Thurman Ruth, William High Pockets Langford. I like that nickname.
Hello, this is Pamela Badilla, your neighbor from Data Data International Folkloric Theater, and you're listening to your radio station, WGXC, Accra, New York, hands-on community radio for Columbia and Greene County. Enjoy.
Come on up and testify. Come on up and testify.
Tune in and turn out for a live broadcast, 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, June 13th, during WGXC's Testify Pledge Drive from Prospect at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter. You can become a standing supporter at the door or increase your current monthly donation, and your first drink is on Scribner's. Beer and wine purchases during the event benefit Wavefarms WGXC 90.7 FM and the Testify Pledge Drive. Turn out, take in the view, check out this exceptionally designed and appointed spot at the Prospect at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter, and raise a glass for radio for open ears. Attendees are asked to make a sliding scale contribution, $5 to $10, or become sustaining supporters at the door. That's 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, June 13th at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter.
I'm going to see if I can get one of my friends to come up here and testify for me. I'm talking about Raymond. I'm talking about Raymond. Come on, Ray. Genius. Come on and testify, son. Go ahead, son. Go ahead.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Scout of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper. The Ichabod Crane Board of Education is giving thought to the district's upcoming superintendent search. Current Superintendent Michael Vanyo's resignation is effective June 4th. He has been employed by Ichabod Crane since 2017, but has been on leave from the district since April after he was charged with a DWI as a result of an incident in Saratoga County. Assistant Superintendent Suzanne Guntlow was appointed acting superintendent April 30th. The Board of Education began formulating its plan June 4th with the creation of a committee to select an interim superintendent before the search for a permanent superintendent begins. Board member Regina Rose, who is on the committee, said there are two candidates interested in the interim position, Guntlow and one other person. Board member John Antelec, who is also on the committee, said he wanted to gather the group of stakeholders, like the one used in the last superintendent search, to meet and start the discussion. The stakeholders include representatives from the PTA, the teachers union, an administrator, a school staff member, and five community members. Board members said the district could wait until June 30th, leaving Guntlow in charge for that time, before they decide whether to hire a consultant or to conduct the search in-house. Analek said the board would form a superintendent search committee and ask community members to join the committee through the website. Read the full story in the Columbia paper.
David Lombardo reports in the Albany Times-Union that State Supreme Court Justice Christina Riba ruled June 7th that a special compensation commission exceeded its authority by putting limits on outside income of state legislators. Lawmakers will get to keep the raises the same commission authorized. Neither side in the lawsuit was particularly happy. Cameron McDonald, the attorney representing the four New Yorkers challenging the work of the commission, wanted the raises removed too. Quote, "We continue to believe none of these powers should have been delegated to the commission," unquote, McDonald said. A spokesperson for State Attorney General Letitia James, whose office defended the regulations, said its lawyers were, quote, "in the process of reviewing the decision and considering next steps," unquote. Legislators got their pay increased from $79,500 to $110,000 this year, the first increase in two decades. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union.
Paul Kirby is reporting for the Daily Freeman. Legislation that would allow school districts in New York to impose mandatory kindergarten attendance is awaiting action by Governor Andrew Cuomo. The bill was approved by the state Senate in March and the Assembly this month, according to the bill's sponsor, State Senator James Skoufas. In support of the measure, Skoufas said earlier this year that children who attend kindergarten gain character-building skills. He said, and I quote, "When children are given a well-rounded kindergarten education, it fosters crucial social, emotional, and cognitive development," end quote. Currently, only eight districts in the state are permitted to mandate kindergarten attendance, including New York City, Syracuse, Rochester, Utica, Buffalo, Cahoes, Waterville, and Yonkers. Skoufas is serving his first term representing the 39th Senate District, which includes Central and Eastern Orange County, the northern tip of Rockland County, and the Ulster County towns of Plattsburgh and Marlboro. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul visited the Hudson River Skywalk on June 7th. No state officials attended the official opening June 1st. The project is an $11 million gift to the Alana State Historic Site and the Thomas Cole National Historic Site, with sidewalks linking the two projects on either side of the Rip Van Winkle Bridge. There are also bike paths that do not link the towns of Catskill and Hudson. Most people who notice the project are in cars and slowed by other cars having problems navigating the roundabout that is part of the project at the bottom of the hill from Alana. Quote, "People are getting an extra 45 seconds of beauty," unquote, Tara Sullivan, the acting executive director of the State Bridge Authority, said. Quote, "It forces them to slow down, be safe, and take in the incredible view," unquote. While the story claims the construction took only 2 months, crews are still working on the site, and signs still warn drivers to slow down more than normal in the construction zone. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
MidHudsonNews.com is reporting the Budget and Finance Committee of the Dutchess County Legislature passed a resolution June 6 setting salaries for elected officials. The proposed increases must go now to the full legislature for a vote on June 10th. Lawmakers approved a 3% raise for each of the county's elected officials, the county executive, sheriff, clerk, legislature chair, majority and minority leaders, majority and minority assistant leaders, and county legislators. County lawmakers have not received a salary increase in 14 years, and the last was a 3% raise in 2005. The executive sheriff and clerk received 3% increases in 2007. Read the full story in MidHudsonNews.com.
Diane Valden reports in the Columbia paper that when, or increasingly if, state legislators legalize recreational marijuana in New York, the Columbia County Board of Health recommends county leaders, quote, "strongly consider banning the retail sale," unquote, of pot in the county. Democrats took over the state Senate this year, and many of them ran on legalizing marijuana. But that has proved more difficult than commonly thought, and the legislature's session ends June 19th, with little chance of passing a law on the issue. Columbia County Board of Health President Pat DiGrioli said, quote, "We've been we've just taken a big step forward with Tobacco 21, and then we look to make a drug that has been illegal for a long time legal and more accessible. It doesn't make sense to our members, unquote. Ultimately, if the state passes a marijuana legalization bill that allows counties to opt out of sales, it will be up to the Board of Supervisors to decide if retail outlets exist in Columbia County. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation is asking the public to report moose sightings and observations. According to a statement released June 6, the DEC and its research partners used public sightings as an indication of the number of moose in the state and a guide as to where they live. The public observation effort is part of a multi-year research project to obtain information on the status of New York's moose population, health of the moose, and the factors that influence their survival and reproductive rate. Commissioner Basil Sago said, and I quote, "Moose are iconic animals, and the public's help in reporting moose sightings is key in creating successful moose management plans that work towards growing and maintaining a healthy population," end quote. Moose sightings increase in the spring with the rising temperatures and melting snow. In 2018, a total of 220 moose observations were reported to the DEC, a marked increase from the 163 reports in 2017. If you see a moose, let the DEC know by reporting, going online to dec.ny.gov.
The Daily Freeman reports that the Kingston bus station at 400 Washington Avenue reopens June 11th after several months of renovations. Trailways buses are departing and arriving at the east end of Kingston Plaza until then. The nearly 50-year-old bus station was supposed to reopen May 21st. Renovations include new seating, updated restrooms and Wi-Fi service inside the building, and new paint, pavement, lighting, and sidewalks outdoors. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. David Lombardo reports in the Albany Times-Union that State Supreme Court Justice Christina Riba ruled June 7th that a special compensation commission exceeded its authority by putting limits on outside income of state legislators. Lawmakers will get to keep their raises the same commission authorized. Neither side in the lawsuit was particularly happy. Cameron McDonald, the attorney representing the four New Yorkers challenging the work of the commission, wanted the raises removed too. Quote, "We continue to believe none of these powers should have been delegated to the commission," unquote, McDonald said. A spokesperson for State Attorney General Letitia James, whose office defended the regulations, said its lawyers were, quote, "in the process of reviewing the decision and considering next steps," unquote. Legislators got their pay increased from $79,500 to $110,000 this year, the first increase in two decades. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union. Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul visited the Hudson River Skywalk on June 7th. No state officials attended the official opening June 1st. The project is an $11 million gift to the Alana State Historic Site and the Thomas Cole National Historic Site, with sidewalks linking the two projects on either side of the Rip Van Winkle Bridge. There are also bike paths that do not link the towns of Catskill and Hudson. Most people who notice the project are in cars and slowed by other cars having problems navigating the roundabout that is part of the project at the bottom of the hill from Alana. Quote, "People are getting an extra 45 seconds of beauty," unquote, Tara Sullivan, the acting executive director of the State Bridge Authority, said. Quote, "It forces them to slow down, be safe, and take in the incredible view," unquote. While the story claims the construction took only 2 months, crews are still working on the site, and signs still warn drivers to slow down more than normal in the construction zone. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Diane Valden reports in the Columbia paper that when, or increasingly if, state legislators legalize recreational marijuana in New York, the Columbia County Board of Health recommends county leaders, quote, "strongly consider banning the retail sale," unquote, of pot in the county. Democrats took over the state Senate this year, and many of them ran on legalizing marijuana. But that has proved more difficult than commonly thought, and the legislature's session ends June 19th with little chance of passing a law on the issue. Columbia County Board of Health President Pat DiGrioli said, quote, We've just taken a big step forward with Tobacco 21, and then we look to make a drug that has been illegal for a long time legal and more accessible. It doesn't make sense to our members, unquote. Ultimately, if the state passes a marijuana legalization bill that allows counties to opt out of sales, it will be up to the Board of Supervisors to decide if retail outlets exist in Columbia County. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. The Daily Freeman reports that the Kingston bus station at 400 Washington Avenue reopens June 11th after several months of renovations. Trailways buses are departing and arriving at the east end of Kingston Plaza until then. The nearly 50-year-old bus station was supposed to reopen May 21st. Renovations include new seating, updated restrooms and Wi-Fi service inside the building, and new paint, pavement, lighting, and sidewalks outdoors. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And you can read more about any of these stories you heard on the WGXC News in the newsroom at wgxc.org.
Come on up and testify. Come on up and testify.
Help testify for community radio in the Hudson Valley during WGXC's Testify Pledge Drive. You can call in at 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate, or come out and visit WGXC at several events in the local community. Thursday, June 13th, WGXC will be at Scribner's Lodge from 5 to 7 p.m. in Hunter on the Mountaintop. Come out and have a drink with WGXC. Proceeds from your drinks go to the Testify Pledge Drive to keep community radio coming out of your speakers. You can also stop by the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson, where WGXC has studios in the basement. Stop by the 4th Street side at the corner of 4th and Warren and make a donation at the First Presbyterian Church. You can also stop out at High Low on Tuesday, June 11th from 9 to noon, and Tuesday, June 18th from 9 to 11 a.m. and make a donation there. Saturday, June 15th, you can also stop by the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson. Well, there'll be an all-day reading of James Joyce's Ulysses on Bloomsday before, during, and after the Gay Pride Parade marches down Warren Street. The reading starts at noon and lasts all day, so stop by the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson on Saturday, June 15th. Also, Wednesday, June 19th, we'll be in Catskill at the Juice Branch on West Bridge Street. The Drive Time radio edition of the WGXC Afternoon Show will be live on the air Wednesday, June 19th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Juice Branch in Catskill on West Bridge Street. And then Sunday, June 23rd, the final day of the WGXC Testify Pledge Drive, will be at Back Bar in Hudson from noon to 4 p.m. Stop by, tune in, or turn out the WGXC's Testify Pledge Drive on the air at 90.7 FM and wgxc.org/donate.
I'm going to see if I can get one of my friends to come up here and testify for me. I'm talking about Raymond. I'm talking about Raymond. Come on, Ray, the genius. Come on and testify, son. Go ahead, son. Go ahead.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at wgxc.org, including some of these events.
On Saturday, June 8th, Volume Reading Series presents Kelly J. Beard, Lucy Ives, Lee Matthew Goldberg, and Rebecca Godfrey with an unnamed DJ at the Spotty Dogs and Ale on Warren Street in Hudson from 7 to 8. Shop small batch candles and ceramic vessels, jewelry, natural dyed textiles, accessories, and vintage clothing, all by Hudson Valley and Catskill artisans at the handmade pop-up at the Hudson River Exchange on Warren Street in Hudson from 12 noon to 5 p.m. A Suitcase Full of Chocolate is a film about the late pianist Sophie Kosma, who survived every cataclysmic event of the last century to become one of the most celebrated pianists of Eastern Europe. The film will be shown from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Old Chatham Quaker Meeting House on County Route 13 in Old Chatham. And finally, on Sunday, June 9th, join the Hudson History Bus Tour,
led by researcher John Craig and former Mayor Richard F. Tracy. The bus will leave at 1 p.m. from the Hudson Brewing Company on South 3rd Street and travel through the streets of Hudson, stopping to discuss historic buildings, people, scandals, and moments in history. Members of the tour will receive a free drink ticket with tour admission. Story Hour with Pamela Badia provides families with the opportunity to explore stories that formed the traditions and ethics of specific cultures. Sundays through June 28th from 2 to 3 p.m. at the Hudson Area Library. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting WGXC.org and clicking on the calendar link at the top of the page.
Come on up and testify. Come on up and testify.
Tune in and turn out for a live broadcast, 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, June 13th, during WGXC's Testify Pledge Drive from Prospect at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter. You can become a standing supporter at the door or increase your current monthly donation, and your first drink is on Scribner's. Beer and wine purchases during the event benefit Wavefarms WGXC 90.7 FM and the Testify Pledge Drive. Turn out, take in the view, check out this exceptionally designed and appointed spot at the Prospect at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter, and raise a glass for radio for open ears. Attendees are asked to make a sliding scale contribution, $5 to $10, or become sustaining supporters at the door. That's 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, June 13th at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter.
I'm going to see if I can get one of my friends to come up here and testify for me. I'm talking about Raymond. I'm talking about Raymond. Genius. Come on and testify, son. Go ahead, son. Go ahead.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, but mostly books we love.
And other bookish things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to do today. So maybe we'll start off with Amelia. What have you been reading lately?
Well, in school I've been reading To Kill a Mockingbird, which is not enjoyable.
Oh,
but
no.
I also have this book, To Make Monsters Out of Girls by Amanda Lovelace, which is a poetry collection that my parents got for me a couple months ago.
Hmm.
I haven't
pretty.
Read any of it yet. I got it a bit late for National Poetry Month, and I'm a bit sad about that.
Hmm. Is it...
Some are good.
Are they...
Some can't be read on the radio, as I'm looking through it now for the first time. but it's very interesting.
As far as you know, they're individual poems as opposed to, like, a story?
I believe that they are individual poems. I don't think they are a story.
It's got some nice design. It's all black and white and red. Like blood red.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like it'll be fun.
I'm also not sure if the author's name is a pseudonym or not, because it seems like, now that I'm reading the note from author in here, that it might not be her real name. It might be a pseudonym.
It's a cool name. Amanda Lovelace. Or Lovelace.
Lovelace, I think. But it's very interesting. And I guess she has some other books called The Women Are Some Kind of Magic series, which has two books in it, apparently, according to this. So it's very interesting.
Awesome. So that's one you're excited to read?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am.
And you're not excited about To Kill a Mockingbird?
It's not good. It's not as good as I thought it would be.
Yes.
Like, I thought it had a plot, and then it didn't, and now it does again, and it's a different plot, and it's weird. Which I guess kind of makes sense, because it's supposed to be told through, like, the perspective of, like, this little 8-year-old girl named Scout. But it's just, I'm just not enjoying it very much.
That's too bad. I actually don't remember how much I liked it when I read it. I don't remember hating it, and I don't remember loving it, so I think I enjoyed it, but not, it wasn't one of my favorite reads of high school, but I think for a lot of people it is. And so I'm curious if how much also
I mean,
the way that
still
it's read in school.
There's still a ton of the book left, so maybe I'll start to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I just was upset because I had to read like over 7 chapters over the break.
No.
But maybe that's it.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes with books in school, how you read it makes a big difference, too. Like, if you're reading it aloud, or if you're reading it too slowly or too quickly, it can make a huge impact on your enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
But I hope it gets better for you,
yeah,
since you have to read it. You have no choice. And you finished the Wings of Fire, or are you still making your
I
way
am
through?
Nearly finished with it. I'm finally done reading through my A-Push textbooks, and I have more time to read stuff I actually want to read.
What did you call it? A-Push?
My APUS history. That's what everyone calls
it.
Cute. Is that wrong? I don't know. I don't think it is.
I don't think it's wrong, but I've never heard it. It's cute, though.
A-Push. A ton of people call it that. I guess it's just a new thing.
Mm-hmm. So you're almost all the way through the textbook?
I am finished with the textbook. I've taken the test. I'm done.
Wow.
I am done.
You know more about U.S. history than anyone in the world.
I know.
My AP U.S. history class in high school, we never finished the textbook. And so we made it to about sometime in the 1960s, and that was it. So then any question on the test that was past that date, we did not know. And it included one of the essay questions, so that was fun.
Oh, no. I got an essay question that was like about a certain political ideology that I knew nothing about, and spent the entire test praying, man, I hope I don't get any questions about this. And then it was an essay question. I was so relieved when it wasn't any of the multiple choice, only to realize that it was the PBQ.
And you're like, what am I going to say?
She's like, oh no.
Yeah, I don't even remember what I did with that question, because I think I just had no idea anything about it. So it's like, how do you even...
Yeah, I totally made up the entire essay. I just wrote, like, I was just like, well, I can write about this other thing that's not that thing. So at least I have writing there.
Well, at least you're done.
Yeah. I'm done with both my AP tests, AP Bio and AP U.S. History.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I have a few books I could talk about.
Ooh.
Let's see. So first up, I guess I can talk about White Rose, which I read, I think I started it during National Poetry Month and finished in early May. And it is a verse novel that is historic fiction based on actual events. And it centers around Sophie Scholl, who is a young German college student who challenged the Nazi regime during World War II as part of the White Rose, a nonviolent resistance group. And she and her brother and this group created these leaflets that were considered treason because they were against their government, and they got arrested, and I guess I won't spoil what happened, whether or not they get out, but it is based on history, so if you know that history, you go into the book knowing. But I can read you a little bit from it. I thought it was really interesting reading it in verse form, because I've seen a movie about her, and I know there's some nonfiction written about her, but I thought the verse worked really well. I think the book also starts off very well. Oh, and so the way the book is set up, it goes back and forth between present time, like after the arrest and the trial, and then going back in time to when she was younger and leading up to the
arrest. It like flips like before and after things. Mm-hmm. I love books that do that.
Yeah. And it's mostly from her perspective, but every once in a while there's the perspective of like the judge in her case, her boyfriend Fritz, who's away at war. I forget who else. There's a custodian. So every once in a while it's from a different perspective, but it's primarily from the perspective of Sophie Scholl.
Hmm.
And it starts off at the end. February 18th, 1943, Gestapo headquarters. The cars screech to a halt. Officers pull us out by the arms, haul us inside and off to separate rooms, my heartbeat pounding all the while. Boom, 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 boom. They swing the door shut, unlock my handcuffs, order me to sit, rush about with coats, hats, cases, papers, as I try not to give in to the overwhelming, sickening knowledge spreading through me. The two of us are trapped in this net because of me. Boom, 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 boom. I take a deep breath and prepare to fight for our lives. Ooh. So that's how the story starts at the end.
Oh, that's how it starts?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And then another part of the book that I thought was really strong, I can read. This is also later in the end part, not in the beginning part. So this one's called Freedom. After I read my indictment, sign my life away on the bottom, I write a single word, Freiheit, on the back of the paper. Across the room, my cellmate has tears in her eyes, but I turn to the window, let the sunshine warm my face. Such a lovely day. But what does my death matter, if it means more students will continue what we started, if it means our actions will start a revolution, if it means others might live? The sun still shines. I open my eyes, take in the beauty that I know lies beyond these walls, insert my spirit into a sunbeam, send a ray of hope into this hopeless world.
And this story takes place, when was it again?
In the 1940s.
Oh.
Some of the before part might take place earlier. I can't remember how much it goes into her childhood, but she was arrested in the early 40s. So yeah, it's a very inspiring story. And I think a lot of times when people talk about Nazi Germany, they talk about why did people just sit around and how did people let this happen? Mm-hmm. And I think that question is still valid in many cases, but there are people who stood up and took a stand and were really brave and inspiring. So I think it's important to hear those stories too.
Yeah.
And I loved that it was a verse novel. So now I have to read the nonfiction book that's supposed to be really good about them. So the books that I'm talking about are all very different. So that one's a historic fiction verse novel. And then I also recently read Stargirl. Have you ever read that one by Jerry Spinelli?
I have not.
Sort of like it's a classic YA novel, although it was written in the early 2000s, so it's not that old. But I think it's considered sort of a bit of a classic. And it's told from the perspective of a young man named Leo. And he goes to school at Micah High, which is in, I believe it's in Arizona, because they always talk about the Sonoran Desert. And that's where I believe the Sonoran Desert is. Hmm. But their school is just kind of normal, everything's kind of the same. Yeah. And then one day, this girl comes to their school who had been homeschooled until then, and she shows up in strange costumey outfits, playing a ukulele and singing people happy birthday in the room, bringing her pet rat to school with her. And she's just very interesting, unique, quirky, and she kind of catches everybody by surprise, and then sort of everyone becomes enchanted with her. Leo falls in love with her. But then at some point, her quirkiness crosses a line for some people in the school, and they turn up against her. And so she goes from being wonderfully accepted for her differences to being shunned for her differences. And then Leo convinces her to maybe try to be normal and try to be like everybody else, except that doesn't really work either. And so it kind of looks at this period of time and this relationship that Leo has with Stargirl. I don't know if I mentioned her name is Stargirl.
Oh.
She goes by Stargirl. hence the name of the story. And, you know, kind of both like this interesting time and celebrating differences, but also realizing that some people aren't comfortable with differences. And first love. It's just an interesting sort of contemporary read with some fascinating characters, especially Stargirl. She's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've heard about that book for a long time, and many people that I know have listed it as one of their favorite books, but for some reason I never read it, and then recently I decided it was time, and so I'm glad I did. And I listened to it on audio, which was really great. It was read by the late John Ritter, who was an actor who passed away also in the early 2000s. But yeah, so highly suggest the audiobook especially. And what's interesting is it kind of ends in an interesting place where it doesn't seem like there would be a sequel, but there actually is another book in the series. So I'm curious about that. And then the third book I wanted to talk about is The Darkest Part of the Forest by Holly Black.
I think you've told me about this one before, but I can't quite remember what you said it was about.
Yeah, it's a Battle of the Books book. So
ooh,
that's why
I knew
it.
I knew it sounded familiar.
And it was the last of the Battle of the Books books for me to read. And I also listened to the audiobook for this. It was also good. And I'm going to read the book description for this because I think it's written really well.
Ooh.
Children can have a cruel, absolute sense of justice. Children can kill a monster and feel quite proud of themselves. A girl can look at her brother and believe they're destined to be a knight and a bard who battle evil. She can believe she's found the thing she's been made for. Hazel lives with her brother Ben in the strange town of Fairfold, where humans and fae exist side by side. The fairies' seemingly harmless magic attracts tourists, but Hazel knows how dangerous they can be, and she knows how to stop them. Or she did, once. At the center of it all, there is a glass coffin in the woods. It rests right on the ground, and in it sleeps a boy with horns on his head and ears as pointed as knives. Hazel and Ben were both in love with him as children. The boy has slept there for generations, never waking, until one day he does. As the world turns upside down, Hazel tries to remember her years, pretending to be a knight. But swept up in a new love, shifting loyalties, and the fresh sting of betrayal, will it be enough?
And I love fantasy.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
I really liked this one a lot. I think Holly Black's a really great writer, and I think the world she created is very interesting, and I like the characters a lot. And I kind of like that there's like this fantastical element, but there's also a real world connection. You know, sometimes I actually do like fantasy where it's a new world that has no connection to our modern world.
Yeah.
But I also really like when they can connect them both.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that it's this town that is more or less like a town that we would live in, but they have fairies in their world. And there's, you know, there's this like coffin in the woods, this glass coffin with this mysterious character, fantastical character that's been sleeping there, kind of like Sleeping Beauty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like all the teenagers in town like go out into the woods and party and like try to see if they can break open the glass. And so it's interesting, the fantastical living side by side with the realistic.
Yeah.
I think it's an excellent choice for our Battle of the Books. The books this year are very good and diverse. I like that about them.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. So that was a third book that I read recently. And then one more that's it's a little younger. I recently was visiting with family for a wedding and got to start reading the third book in the Ruby Lou series. Ruby Lou, star of the show, with my niece, Mila. And we didn't get to finish it while we were together, but I came home and borrowed it from the library and finished it up. And I really love the Ruby Lou series. It's by Lenore Look and illustrated by Steph Choi. And Ruby Lou is, I forget in the first book what grade she's in, but in this book she's in third grade. So it might be second grade when it starts, because I think the second one is set over the summer. But she's a young Chinese-American girl, and she lives with her parents and her baby brother. And then in the second book, some of her family comes to move with her, including her cousin, whose name is Flying Duck, who is deaf and speaks Chinese Sign Language. And she can also read lips, and she's learning American Sign Language once she moves to the United States. So she's a really cool character. Totally impressed by her. But Ruby Lou, star of the show, is a lot of it centers around her father losing his job. So he's the, you know, main breadwinner for the family, and he loses his job. And so he's trying to find another job while they're trying to keep their expenses down. And then eventually the mother ends up finding a job. And so then the sort of dynamic in the family shifts where the dad becomes the stay-at-home dad doing housework, and the mother's making the money. Mm-hmm. And Ruby Lou's trying to figure out ways to help out. And sometimes they're very comical, the ways that she tries to make some money. And there's also some interesting parts in school where they're learning haiku. So there's like a number of haiku moments throughout the book where she's writing little haikus. So that was also fun reading, especially after National Poetry Month, where we'd been reading so much poetry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just a very cute series. I'm actually sorry that it's only three books. I wish there were more. But yeah, so those are the books I've read recently that are youth appropriate. Actually, I have one more I could mention. Skyward, Volume 1, My Low-G Life by Joe Henderson, is a graphic novel that I think is up for an Eisner this year. I remember when it first came out, I thought it sounded really interesting and wanted to read it, but didn't get around to it. And then I think what sparked me reading it recently was that I saw it was nominated for an Eisner. But it centers around a young woman named Willa Fowler, who was born just after G-Day, which was the day that gravity on Earth suddenly became a fraction of what it is now. So it takes place 20 years later. And so it's the United States, or this, you know, I guess I don't remember if it's specifically the United States, but it looks like a familiar world to us, except that people have to beware of gravity. Like, if you jump, you may not come down. And early on, her dad announces that he thinks he may have figured out how to turn things back to normal. And he was part of a group that were part of G-Day happening. So there's some interesting stuff there. Some people don't want it to go back to the way it is. And some people do. And her dad's kind of, since G-Day, has been a bit of a shut-in, because when that day happened, his wife ended up floating away. And he wasn't able to save her because he had to choose between saving the daughter, protecting the daughter, and saving his wife. So he obviously has some trauma from that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if there's a new book in the series.
This is a graphic novel?
Yeah, so it's a graphic novel series. Oh, it does look like there's a volume 2 out. I'll have to get that. So it's a comic series, so it comes out in issues, and then this was the first volume collecting those issues. But it does look like a couple months ago volume 2 was released. So yay. I hate having to wait for new volumes in comic series because I read through them so fast. Like, I'll get a new comic and I'll just read it in one sitting usually.
Yeah.
And then you have to wait like a year or half a year for the next volume to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Or in some cases, a new volume never comes out. And that's very upsetting. But yeah, so those are the books I've been reading recently. We're just about out of time. We're going to play some music now. And for those listening to us on Sunday, we'll be right back in a little bit to talk about some more books. For those listening on Thursday, this is it for today, and we hope you have a good week.
Bye.
Happy reading.
You don't know a thing about a story, tell it wrong all the time. Don't know a thing about a glory, wanna steal my baby shine. Somebody's daddy always laid out on the street, and for what? We on the street, and for what? Your precious little fear, your precious little fear. You could change a hood just by showing your face. Condo climbing high, now the black is erased. You don't get it, get it. You clutch on your purse. In the street, brother caught your eye. Now you're calling police. You don't get it. It's a casual violence in your speech and your silence. It's a natural science. You're too comfortable lying. We don't go out, can't wish us away. We don't go out, can't wish us away.
wrong all the time. Don't know a thing about a glory. Wanna steal my baby, shine my friend.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. Mm-hmm. Amelia's here. We're Hello. From Bound by Books. And we're here to talk a little bit more about books with y'all.
Yep.
So is the book of poetry mentioned to make monsters out of girls? Is that your next read?
Yeah, it might be, actually. I think so.
Yeah.
It seems like it might go pretty quick since it's just a bunch of poems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks really pretty and scary.
It's definitely more on, like, the morbid side of, like, poetry.
Mm-hmm. That can be fun. I'd like to read more poetry. We read a lot of poetry during National Poetry Month, but I'm trying to make a practice of reading poetry more frequently.
Yeah.
Especially, like, collections of poetry. Like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever read, like, a real deal collection of poetry. I've just read the, like, things like... Like Ellen Hopkins with the way she writes mm-hmm. books.
Yeah, like a verse novel.
In verses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that. I've never read one just with no real story.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of poems.
But maybe that's one.
It has nice illustrations every so often, too.
Yeah, the color scheme of the, like, black and white with red.
It's red, black, and white.
It reminds me of Emily Carroll's Through the Woods graphic novel short story collection. Which was, and also the morbidity of that appears yeah. to be in that book reminds me of that too, because they were all kind of like creepy stories that have to do with the woods in some way, hence Through the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Is there anything else on your to read list?
The first book battle book I want to read is Six of Crows.
Yay!
And aftermath that, maybe the one you talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Darkest part of the woods.
Of the forest, yeah. Yay, we're excited to get started with Battle of the Books. If anyone out there listening is interested in joining our team, we still have room for some more teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you just read these five awesome books over the summer and practice trivia about them and then compete in the regional battle, which this year is going to be held at Columbia Green Community College. So it's right here in our home turf.
Yep.
But yeah, feel free to reach out to me at the library. It's info@hudsonarealibrary.org. It's for teens entering grades 9 to 12. And also, if you're just graduating from high school this year, you're still eligible through the summer. And we'd be happy to read with you and practice with you and battle on your team. Not with you.
Mm-hmm.
Not against you.
Yeah.
So I think we're just about out of time for today.
Okay.
But we hope everyone has a great week, reads lots of great books. Happy reading.
Bye.
Hi, my name is Josh Carter.
And I'm Emily Hill, and here's the Catskill News.
I'd like to take this moment to thank my parents for all the support they've given me growing up. Heading to graduation has made me reflect on all the values and life lessons that you've installed in me. I am who I am because of your love and support. I hope to make you proud in all that I do.
Oh, that was cute. Okay.
The day started like all the rest. The soft glow of sunlight growing into morning.
Starting today, you can now purchase The Adventures of Petey the Pelican, written by Coach Lamon and illustrated by Mrs. Doney at Mahalo Gift Shop on Main Street in Catskill, Thursday, June 13th, starting at 3:30. You can get your book signed by Coach Lamon and Mrs. Doney and also enjoy some light refreshments. Please come support our teacher, author, illustrators at Mahalo this Thursday, 13th, at 3:30.
He wondered about how the bay was filled with water, where all the fish came from, what was past all those stars in the sky. What was life like outside his bay? And what was the meaning of his life?
June 17th, seniors will do a walkthrough with their cap and gowns to celebrate their successful completion of high school. Seniors will start in the high school and then go to the middle school and to the elementary school. This is such an important event for all of our student body. Let's all step out and celebrate the success of our graduates.
Seniors, make sure you're staying up to date with all the upcoming events as the school year comes to a close. Freedom, independence, college loans, and part-time jobs are fast approaching. But before we start thinking about all that, we have a few special events to look forward to in the next couple of weeks. Wednesday the 12th, we have the senior breakfast at 8 a.m., followed by senior awards at 6 o'clock that evening. Monday, June 17th, is our last day of classes. We have senior walkthrough at 9 a.m., and then our senior picnic is at 11. Thursday, June 28th, at 11 a.m., we have our graduation rehearsal, and then Friday, June 28th at 6 p.m. is graduation. I hope everybody's excited because it's bound to be a great few weeks and then an even better summer.
Students may sign up for the Driver's Education Program this summer at Coxsackie. If anyone's interested, see your guidance counselor for registration form.
Our Catskill News team was honored at the recent school board meeting. Our own Jessica DuPont and Josh Carter were presented with recognition plaques for the contributions to the Catskill News. This award was shared with our entire news team as a representation of the work we put into making a professional broadcast, another example of Cats doing.
It's really cool to see the process of creating our school news. We have two classes, Broadcasting 1 and 2, and Video Production. These classes produce the news and video programming for the year. Additionally, we have our iWorks class that has to produce a news segment as their final project. For the next 2 weeks, we will be adding their segments to the news. Welcome to all of our new team members. You're part of something very important.
Our art program has had a super busy spring hosting multiple programs consecutively. Congratulations to the teachers, clubs, and students for representing Catskill. Amazing works of art.
The art program has been very busy recently. The art show at Columbia Green was a huge success for all art students kindergarten through 12th grade. Art students have spent a lot of work on the cat, which is finally up on Main Street. A new addition to the high school lunchroom is in progress. Art students are hard at work on the mural. Great job to everyone in the art program, and thank you to Ms. Stoney for making all this possible.
Here's the June 2019 region schedule. Let's take advantage of the last days to review and prepare as best we can. Cats can.
The CMS Student Council is collecting donations for the Columbia Green Humane Society. The grade level that donates the most will receive an ice cream party.
The lunch program has seen significant adjustments this year. The addition of a salad bar and more fruit available. They have really made the effort to keep the program nutritious and tasty. Thank you to our food service staff and management. Here's Ann Alicia with the first report.
How much do you like the lunch program at Catskill High School?
I do eat the salad, I guess, yeah.
What would you suggest to make the lunch program better?
I would say more options, different types of foods.
How do you feel about the idea of Catskill having a bakery in the cafeteria?
I feel like that's a good idea.
Thank you.
I'm Azar Brantley.
how do you feel about the idea of Catskill having a bakery in the cafeteria?
Okay. That sounds good because, you know, like, I'm a big guy, so I like my food. So that sounds good to me.
Thank you.
Devin Gaylord.
Well, at first it wasn't, and then it got better throughout the year, which I'm really happy about because, you know, I'd be hungry every day. But, like, that's okay.
Does the salad bar make lunch more enjoyable?
Yes, it does. Because, like, if you don't want the lunch that's actually there, you can have a second choice instead of, like, the sandwiches.
What would you suggest to make the lunch program better?
I feel like we should have a bakery because sometimes I want, like, a sweet and the vending machines just don't hit the spot. So, like, that's a problem. I'm Marian Ramos.
Thanks, Annalisa.
Have you ordered your yearbook yet? See Mrs. Maggio to purchase your yearbook. It's a fabulous production.
The senior signing was an impressive and momentous tradition that honored our seniors' college and career choices, also awarding our juniors with scholarships to help them decide their futures. Such an important event here at Catskill.
Of our seniors. Today they will reveal their plans upon completing high school. In a month or so, many of them will be off to college, the armed services, and the workforce. Our seniors, please stand. Woo! Turn around and give them a round of applause.
This is what I get to pay off for 13 years of my education.
Yeah, what Bella said.
Yeah, it gives an opportunity to let everybody know that, you know, you can get there. You can really do it if you want to, if you put your mind to it, period. Okay. Period. Nothing is impossible.
Catskill, I love you.
It's important because it gives the young people a direction for them to follow in life. And I also noticed that there were juniors and freshmen, and it can further encourage other students to look up to these superstar graduates of the great Catskill High School.
Senior signing day is really important. Me and Josh are going to the same college.
High school has been your foundation for your future. Whether it is the military, the workforce, two-year school, or four-year institution, you are prepared because you made sure your foundation is strong to overcome any obstacles that may lay ahead. On behalf of the Catskill High School and the Catskill community, we are proud of you. We're expecting great things in the future.
Yesterday, two students walked into the orange poles in front of our studio while on their phones. Do students spend too much time on their phones? Is this problematic? Here's Garrett with the first segment looking into this problem.
Do you play video games?
Yeah.
Yeah?
When I'm with friends, yeah.
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 How often are you on your phone?
Not often.
No, not... Well, I mean, like, only on, like, Instagram and, like, Snapchat and stuff.
But I'm on my phone a lot.
About 6 hours a day.
How long would you say, like, per day that you play?
Around 3 hours, maybe 3.5.
Like, 15 hours a Fortnite.
See, like, 10.5. Close to 11.
About 15 hours a day.
Probably like 3 hours maybe.
And do you play games on your phone?
Sometimes, not really often.
No, not really.
Not anymore, no.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I broke that.
Do you have your phone on you right now?
No.
Does gaming like affect your grades in a good or a bad way?
It doesn't really affect them at all, but it is a nice escape from reality if I've had a tough day.
Yes and no. Like, there's been times where, like, I've had to, like, cut down, like, my video game playing so I can get my grades up and do, like, homework and stuff.
I guess it affects them.
Bad way. Very bad way. I'm failing everything.
Well, my grades are good. They're not bad.
Has it changed the friends that you hang out with?
Kind of. You know, you want to relate more to your friends, so you probably find friends who also play video games. So, yeah.
No.
Negative.
Yeah.
No.
You say that you're addicted at all?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, something like that.
Very.